You are listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm your host, Amy Alpers.
Good morning, afternoon. I don't even know what the heck I was going to say there.
I liked it, though. I know we both looked at each other. Who's going to talk? It's good morning. This comes out in the morning. Yeah. I maybe at midnight. I don't know. 6 a.m.
I don't know either.
Adam, producer Adam, you want to chime in? What time does this podcast come out?
6 a.m. Mountain time.
There you go. See? 6 a.m. Mountain time, 5 a.m. California. So good morning, Stockton, and all of our listeners.
Yeah, here we go.
Thanks for being with us. We're hopped up because we have a very sweet guest today.
We're very excited about.
I know. Michael from Michael's Heavenly Sweets. I'm sure you guys have seen him around. He was a big fan of ours at the last Stockton Flavor Fest. He's in our recap video pumping us up. So we're super excited that he's actually going to be a vendor at Flavor Fest with us this year, May 19th through 21st.
So. I got a big sweet tooth, you know. I mean, I do. And I gave up sugar a couple years ago. So I eat more like keto-like, so no sugar, no carbs. So I got to figure out if Michael will ever work some of that into his menu. But I love sweets. I mean, it's a hard thing. And his stuff is not only tasty, but so visually appealing that I really dig it. So, and I just love the fact that, like, when he, my son and I bumped into him at the car show last year at the Miracle.
Oh, yep.
I think it was last year. I can't even remember anymore because, you know, years. But anyway, you know, he's in front of his booth. He loves to take photos of people who are stopping by. He just engages the community. He's not just sitting in his chair back there waiting for the next sale. He's out engaging his customers. So I just love that about him. And I think he's going to be a great guest today. So, anyway, I think you want to also talk about encouraging people to like.
Yes, subscribe. You guys, since we're so fun and you love listening to our podcast, we would love it so much if after you're listening to this, during you're listening to this, whatever, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast. It helps us move up in the ratings when people are searching for Stockton happenings, so then we'll get, you know, a better visual cues for this podcast. We would love to hear the nice things you guys want to say about us. We will share your reviews. We will appreciate your likes and subscribes, and then we'll come straight to your phone every other Thursday or twice a month, the first and third Thursdays. You won't even have to remember to look for us.
It just rolls off your tongue.
Show up right there. I know, God, so eloquent. It'll be awesome. Please join us on this journey.
Yeah.
And be our followers.
All right. Let's get to the yummy part of today.
Yes, heck yes. So with us today, as we alluded to, is Michael McDonald. He is the owner of Michael's Heavenly Sweets. So thank you so much, Michael, for taking some time to talk with us today. We're very excited to learn about your business and all the sweet treats you provide to the city. And before we get all into the business operations, can you share with us a little bit about your Stockton story and how you landed in Stockton?
Definitely. And thank you for having me on as a guest. Background story, born and raised in Stockton, California, right in South Stockton, went to Nightingale Elementary School, August, thought I was going to go to Franklin, moved away, came back, Stockton's home for me. So just having fun right in the B Street area back when they had KSTN years and years ago. Stockton is really, you know, the community, the people, you know, I have always loved it. I'm the youngest of five siblings. I'm the one that chose this entrepreneur route. So it's been fun and exciting. And my brothers and sisters, they cheer me on being the baby of the family. So it's all new for them, but it's been a lot of fun. So yeah, that's my background in Stockton. I love Stockton.
I love it. There's a lot of us who left and came back. That's like the tale as old as time it is for Stockton, man. It can get you back.
I did the same thing, honestly. I mean, I was born and raised and I went in the Army. And when I went to the Army, exactly. I never thought I was coming home. You know, it's just, I didn't think I was coming back, but it is that boomerang thing. Hometown is so
the old boomerang.
Definitely. Yeah. Did your mom know she was naming you after a Doobie Brother when she named you, or is that just a coincidence?
I get that all the time.
Did you? Like, okay.
Were you? Did you sing with Patti LaBelle? Like, no, I did not sing with Patti LaBelle.
Yeah, that was me.
But yeah, I get those Michael McDonald jokes all the time. Doobie
Maybe
Brothers.
We can use that for the Flavor Fest promotion, Michael.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Or I have to include it in some of my reels.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So, Michael, how'd you get into this love for baking and making confections? How'd you get into this whole career of yours?
It's interesting. You know, as a kid, I remember being in the kitchen, watching my mom, you know, make cakes, and I'd be sitting there just waiting for her to finish the whisk so I can eat the batter off the little whisk that she was making for the different lemon cakes she would make. And so that was kind of, I guess, like the beginning stages. And I remember my grandmother, she's gone and passed now, but she would make these sweet potato pies. Mm-hmm. And she lived right next door. So as I would come to her house, I would stick my little two fingers inside the sweet potato pie. And so when she would see the pie, she's like, Michael, you put your fingers in my pie. I was like, yeah, it was my little taste test. And so I think that was the early stages of this baking journey. And then I graduated. I worked for San Joaquin County probation. And so we'd have these Christmas parties. And so I just decided one year, well, let me bring some chocolate covered strawberries. So that's December. And then come February, my coworkers are asking, you know, Michael, can you make me some of those strawberries? Like, well, that was just a hobby. this is no business. And so I was thinking about different ways that I can, you know, a friend of mine, she's like, well, maybe Michael, you're onto something. If coworkers are asking, can you make them some berries? You may have a little side business. I was like, okay, well, I'll just give it a shot. And so that's kind of where it started. And she helped me kind of do some branding and that sort of thing and trying to figure out, well, how much do I sell these strawberries before I do nothing about it? But that's kind of the early stages of Michael's Heavenly Sweets.
I love it. And that's a hard transition too. I know a lot of us during COVID too, you're like, it's wanting to respect an artist for their art, right? So you start making something, you're like, how about $2? And people are like, you need to charge way more for that. Like, you put so much time into it and everything. And you first start out, you just have like no idea what you're worth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So how was the transition for you going from a hobbyist into making this a business? Hopefully you still love it, right? Because we've heard things where it's like, if you love something, never make it your job, you know? Yeah. So hopefully you're still loving everything as much as you
Yeah, I still love it. You know, going from a hobby, now it's like you have a full website and people order all the time. So before, as a hobby, I can do it whenever I'm ready. I don't feel like baking today. I don't feel like shopping for supplies.
Psych.
I can do it on my own time. And then it's like, okay, I need 5 dozen. I'm having a party. I need a platter. It's like, and then of course they can give what time they want the delivery and make it convenient for the customers. I'm like, oh my God, it's a real thing. Like, you have to go out and do these and deliver this product. But I love doing it. I love meeting new customers. And a lot of times the new products come from ideas. They may ask, oh, Michael, have you tried such and such? And I'll make the product and I'll actually name it after them. So this is a Nancy Apple or this is the Maryland Apple, which is my mom, you know, to have that connection with my customers. Totally. So, and they love that too, you know, seeing their name on the Apple and it's on the Reels and Facebook and Instagram, you know, so it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I love that so much. And I actually have never really quite heard that description of like, when something's your hobby, it's on your own time. When it transitions to being your, that makes so much sense though. Yeah. And it transitions into being your business and you're on everyone else's timeline. So, well, good thing you love it still.
Oh, well, yes. Michael, you're known for dipping stuff, right? I know you got apples, you got strawberries. So let's talk about how many different dipped desserts you make. And also, like, what is your signature dipped dessert?
Oh, wow. There's about 10 different dipped desserts. Mm. And I recently got into making some cookies and the mini cakes. So one of the popular ones is within the last couple of weeks is the chocolate dipped pineapples. And another customer, God, she said, you know, can you put caramel on my pineapples?
Whatever.
I said, sure. And so I made the reel and she's enjoying the pineapples. You may have seen it. And so now I have like more customers ordering the chocolate dipped pineapples. And so one of my favorites is actually the caramel apple with the pecans and drizzled with the white chocolate. You know, you slice it up and you just take your time and just get into it. You know, so that's a few of the products, the chocolate dipped bacon, the caramel apples, the chocolate berries. Got something for you today too.
Oh, Michael.
Yeah. So there's about 10 different products there. And the pecan caramel apple is my favorite.
Chocolate dip bacon sounds like a 2 a.m. like, we should order something.
Savory and the sweet.
Let's
savory
that in and the for sweet. Tomorrow morning. Yeah. Right. It'll show up. I'm into that.
Yeah. It's a 24/7 thing. So now you mentioned, I know you're doing some stuff for some other places in town. So you're doing more cakes and cookies and other things too.
Yes, it really works out well with Terra Coffee because, of course, everyone, when you have your coffee, you want some type of pastry, you know. So it started with the caramel apples and the nut clusters and the caramel chews, and then I'll change up. And so we've been doing salted caramel cookies and the mini cakes this morning, actually, with Laura over there. So she's excited. The customers are excited. You know, even while I'm setting them up in the case, they're getting ready to order or get ready to purchase, you know. So that's worked out well too.
So you're not doing your grandma's sweet potato pie?
Yeah, I'm planning on doing that in a twist with, I'm not sure if you're a fan of cheesecake, but I was planning on doing like a mix of sweet potato pie, cheesecake blend. So I have to bring you some samples.
Oh my God. You know, that sounds killer.
I know. I was just thinking like, God, how can we get Michael involved at Feast at the Fox for dessert rounds? Anyway,
you can.
My brain. Or like,
I know.
I think you can do it.
Or hors d'oeuvre or something.
I think you can do it. I have faith in you.
Yes.
I just say yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
You can make it happen.
God, a sweet, but I love, cheesecake fusion, if you will. Like I used to work at farmers markets when I was a kid, and my mom would let us each have like a bag of cherries that we could go trade for stuff, and I would always go trade there's a dairy in Oakdale that does
Oakdale cheese.
That's it. And they do a cheesecake brownie, like with the cheesecake on top. Oh my God. And I was like, this is the best thing I've ever had in my life. So a sweet potato pie, cheesecake blend. Oh my God.
I'm kind of curious too, mentioning that. Just like, do people, like when you do markets and stuff, do people like try to barter and trade for sweets? Is that, or do you
I've actually had a couple of the different vendors like, okay, well, if they'll have a soap, I'm like, well, soap and sweets. Quite the same.
But yeah, I don't know. That's a good trade. Yeah.
But it's always good to, you know, exchange, you know, products with different vendors, because there's a lot of great vendors here in Stockton, Lodi, Galt area. So yeah. I'm always supporting them as well. We do barter.
I'm hungry all of a sudden.
I know, really. Well, and since we're talking about events and stuff too, I'll give the plug. As Michael mentioned, he has his sweets at Terra Coffee, which is down on Yosemite Street. We have had Laura on this podcast before. She's part of the This is Stockton video series as well. So they're a great friend to the podcast and to Visit Stockton. But he's also tomorrow going to be at the bridal fair in Galt. So if any of you are engaged or trying to pressure your partner into proposing to you and are going to the bridal show, make sure you go by and tell me we said what's up.
Is this your first foray into the whole bridal fair wedding business side?
A few years back, I seen a couple of bridal shows and I was like, because I do the wedding berry collection of the caramel apples and the dip berries that you can use for different giveaways and that sort of thing, weddings, little giftings. So I always wanted to do it and probably do a shot in Summer King Magazine, different things like that. So I said, when I seen it come up at a mixer for the Galt Chamber of Commerce, and they gave me the flyers like, well, we'd love you to come. I was like, okay, let me put it on my calendar. So I'm excited to be a part of the the fair they're going to have.
And I feel like maybe this is my own personal opinion with my ratchet friends that I hang out with, but by the time the cake comes out at a wedding, the last thing you want is a cake. Like, but if I could just have a little chocolate dip strawberry or something, and then to accompany the booze we are still drinking, like that is the perfect mix. And I feel like that's happening more and more too. Like the more weddings I've been at, it's not a traditional wedding cake anyways.
Right.
Anymore.
Right.
It's always something kind of easy and fun and handheld. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see much success with that. I love it. Love it. Love it. Okay, so kind of transitioning a little bit here. So we have found out from the questionnaire you filled out for us that you have a passion for teaching young people financial literacy, and you are using that as a means to give back to the community. Can you explain a bit about that and why that's so important to you?
Yes. When I grew up, I really didn't hear in my family, I'm not sure about anyone else, you know, but talking to different friends, they have even shared that, you know, in a lot of families, you don't hear a lot about financial literacy. And you get into so many different pitfalls by just not knowing, understanding credit and how to invest and how to save, delayed gratification, and living out on your own. You know, so right now I'm working with City of Stockton as well at the community center. So we have a group of kids that come in there. So I'm doing a full breakdown of what it's like to live on your own, because many of them are anxious in getting out of the house and having their own independence, not knowing like how much rent is and PG&E and cable, and having them do a full exercise and then having them realize like, wait a minute, it's not so cheap living out on your own, and debt, understanding how important your name is and credit scores, and if you ultimately want to purchase a home, how important having good credit is, that sort of thing. So it's so important for me to have them avoid some of those pitfalls that they can at a younger age. And if you start investing even younger, you know, that can kind of grow into a lot of success and more money as you get older if you're starting young. So many of them, they're excited just knowing what a lot of options that they have available, you know, That's as a young awesome. Teen. Yeah.
And you said you're doing that with the city of Stockton through the community centers?
Yes. A couple of days throughout the week, in addition to Michael's Heavenly Suites, I meet with the kids out there after school. They'll come in, and after we go over some of the structured program, they'll play pool. And it's still a time where you're having conversations, talking about work ethic and how's your day going, how is school. If they need some help with their school, I'll sit down with them and walk them through their homework and that sort of thing. So that's rewarding for me. Even after I retired from probation, I still wanted to give back. So it's fun, you know, being able to do that, being retired, plus Michael's Heavenly Suites now working back with the teens.
So you're baking, you're doing financial literacy courses, you're tutoring, and then there's something called Cool Dads of 209. What the heck is that?
Oh, my God. Now, Cool Dads of 209, of course, you're cool, and you're cool. So I worked with youth for almost 21 years, and you've seen the majority of the kids that came in, they were young men. And so there are even some young women in there as well, teens. And so I would have programs throughout the course of the year. Every month was like a theme. And then Father's Day, we'd do these essay contests. And so I was able to interview some of the teens there, and they were talking about some of the pitfalls that they had, how much better their life would have been if they had that father figure, if they had the role model. For me, I didn't grow up without a father, but so I had a lot of mentors. And so I said, if that was very beneficial for me, what can I do in the city of Stockton to also, maybe they don't have a father, but they can have some mentors. So that's where Cool Dads came about. I started in 2021 and I decided to just get some friends together. Okay, let me interview some dads and they can just talk about their journey. What does being a father mean to you, and what has your journey been like? How do you balance being a father and work life and all these things? So that got a lot of interest from that. Was able to interview some city council and mayors and barbers and real estate agents, you know, so they just took a liking to the program. And so it began to grow and grow and grow. And so that's what I want to do with Cool Dads of 209, just provide a platform, a space where, you know, younger fathers can kind of learn from some of the older fathers and how they were able to keep it all together and just be a help to the community at large, turn into a full-fledged nonprofit down the road. So it's exciting for me to just kind of see where it's gone and how it's growing in its infancy. So yeah, that's Cool Dads of 209. So we have a lot of cool dads right here in the 209.
That's awesome. You know,
What the heck, Michael? I'm going to cry.
Honestly, you know what's funny is Michael, He I don't know what he does his skin regimen is or something, but he comes off really young to me. Like,
yeah, that's what I wrote down here too. I went retired ? I was like, there's no way.
And you meet him, you're like, oh, this dude's in his 20s, he's got a little bacon. So I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I gotta get the fountain of youth. Maybe it's sugar.
God, you heard it here first. Preserve yourself in the inside.
Preserve
out.
Yourself.
sugar.
Sugar. Yeah. Yes. Even keto.
I'm feeling really inadequate in my well-rounded career.
Right.
God, Michael, you're incredible. That was awesome. Okay, if people wanted to get involved with Cool Dads, where do they find that? Or your financial literacy program and everything like that?
Yes, Cool Dads. We have an Instagram page at Cool Dads of 209. You can reach out there. You can send me an inbox if you know any fathers that we would like to have interviewed and that sort of thing. Because I'm always looking for new fathers right here in the city, Stockton, surrounding areas. So please reach out to me there. And as far as a literacy program, your teens can just sign up at the teen center, the Van Buskirk Teen Center. I'm there a couple days throughout the week, and we have ongoing programming. There's always things going on in the city of Stockton to keep the teens engaged. You know,
love it.
Yeah.
Incredible. And then where can people find Michael's Heavenly Suites? What's the Instagram? What's the website? What's the process? How do we get these treats into our mouths?
I try to make it so super easy. All the orders are done at online, michaelsheavenlysuites.com. Easy ordering, free local delivery. No orders are made on Instagram, but we can engage and we can have some fun conversations, talk about sweets, but it's all online at michaelsheavenlysuites.com.
Incredible.
And I'm telling you, look at this website. I'm looking at it.
I was
right
looking
now.
The other day too.
Peanut butter paradise. I got a peanut butter weakness, but I mean, just they're so visually beautiful. And I had to imagine that your Valentine's Day had to be pretty.
Yes, ridiculous. It was. It was hectic. It was hectic. I had to make a post, let everyone know that I'm all booked.
That's you know, awesome.
But yeah. So a lot of good support from the locals and surrounding areas.
Those white and gold strawberries are just.
I know. They're all shiny and whatnot. I know.
Oh, man.
Wes will be un-keto for maybe.
Yeah. It might be my boot stop during flavor.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Michael, this is a question that we ask everyone who visits the show. So where is your favorite place to take someone who is visiting you from out of town when they're in Stockton?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one because there's so many great places. But one place I like to go is Tie Me Up on the Miracle Mile.
Love it. I love
Patty, the fried pork belly, even though I try to stay away from so much fried food. But, you know, if they're coming into town, that's one spot I like to go. And they have great seating, you know, great drinks and everything over there. Great ambiance. So, yes,
I love Tie Me Up. I don't think anyone said Tie Me Up since they've been on here. And that's,
I cannot recall, but yeah. I wouldn't know how he has any time to be going out at all. So
it's like, do you deliver?
I know, seriously.
Just bring it to the house.
They do take the rad card, so there you go. So that's always nice to know. Yes. Well, Michael, thank you so much. This went beyond my expectations of what this interview is going to be. You sound like you should have like a key to the city or something, like with all the things that
you want to give me a key, I'll take a key.
Yeah. You heard it here, City of Stockton. Make it happen. Yeah. But thank you so much. This was very inspiring. It's just so important to us to be able to share stories from people like you who are committed to this city, who are making a conscious effort to create change and just be a positive influence. And you're also like creating this beautiful business as well. So we're very lucky to have you. So thank you so much.
Yeah. And we're super excited to have you at Stockton Flavor Fest this year.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait.
Awesome. And now we are going to head over to our friend Anthony for a Stockton pop culture moment.
Thanks, Amy. In the buildup to the Civil War, Stockton had teetered between pro-secession and pro-union, with the citizens that supported Southern Democrats and those that identified as Northern Democrats and Republicans bitterly arguing over the issue of slavery and states' rights. Eventually, those that remained pro-secession ended up residing on the outskirts of Stockton, in what is now Stanislaus County, in areas now known as Waterloo and Lockford, while Stockton itself leans slightly in favor of the Union. As a show of support to the North, Captain Charles Weber, who was regarded as a fierce Unionist, placed a 120-foot flagpole on a small island near his residence that waved the stars and stripes. The flag could be seen for miles and eventually caught the eye of Confederate sympathizers, who would sneak up by boat and cut the halyards to the pole. In response, Weber would replace them and then station his bulldog on the property to ward off any trespassers. On September 29th, 1861, secessionists snuck up once again, this time replacing the stars and stripes with the Confederate stars and bars. They then did the same to other flagpoles throughout the city. The next morning, Weber awoke to find his flag replaced and his bulldog dead. Fueled by the treachery of this act, Weber had the Confederate flag pulled down, stuffed into his bronze cannon, and fired away as a warning to all Southern sympathizers. He would go on to fire the cannon 13 times in honor of the 13 colonies. But he didn't stop there. He then had every Confederate flag replaced with a Union flag, and, moreover, placed additional Union flags on every windmill in Stockton. By the time they were done, over 500 Stars and Stripes banners were displayed all over Stockton. By fall of 1861, public support in Stockton was fully behind the Union, all thanks to what started with a flagpole on Captain Weber's small island. The small island, from that day forward, would be called Banner Island, now known as the home of the Stockton Ports Banner Island Ballpark.
That was sick. That was a badass story. I was like, I couldn't breathe. I was so into that.
It's so funny because right before you recorded your little part there or said it, we were talking about how we never know what Anthony's going to say, and I had no idea where he was going with this. I'm like, where are we going? I was just going to tie in. So
that was.
And a lot of people don't know where Banner Island gets its name. And so it goes back to the Civil War era. That's cool stuff.
That is sick. That was,
So now when you go to Banner Island and check out a ports game, think about how it got that name.
Yeah. Those Stockton people aren't taking it. I like it. Yeah. Big personalities. I'm so into that. Well, thank you, Anthony. That was awesome.
Welcome.
Awesome. All right. With that, we are going to share some events that are coming up in the next couple weeks here in Stockton. And Wes, I'm going to send it over to you. You got our first event.
Yeah. One of the family favorites, especially if you have any kids in your house that like to fish, is the Bob McMillan Annual Memorial Fishing Tournament at Oak Grove Regional Park. And it'll be held this Saturday, March 4th. And so this is a cool thing, right? They have a lake out at Oak Grove Regional Park. They're going to dump 2,000 pounds of rainbow trout in there, including 600 pounds of trophy-sized fish, which I do not know what that means, but they're, I don't know if they're the size of a trophy or, anyway. So it's a 10-acre lake out there, you know, of course, and this is actually a free event. And so gates open at 6:15, registration closes at 10, no registration fee, but you need a $5 fishing permit fee and a valid California fishing license for anyone who is 16 or older. There's a 5-trout limit, and there's $6 vehicle parking. But this is a cool event. I mean, like, there's people all around this lake because, you know, 2,000 pounds of fish is a lot of fish. And it's a great way for kids to get out because, you know, if you're teaching a kid to fish and you're bringing them out to the Delta, it can get a little frustrating because, you know, you may not catch anything. You should probably catch something during this event. So go check out the Bob McMillan Annual Memorial Fishing Tournament this Saturday at Oak Grove Regional Park.
Excellent. That sounds awesome. I like a... They make it easy for you. You'll catch something. We put fish in the pond. Why not? I dig it. And then on Sunday, March 5th, the annual Stockton Chinese New Year celebration is happening over at Mickey Grove Park at the Historical Museum, the San Joaquin County Historical Museum. It's the annual celebration they host every year. It's going to have 4 different lion dance troupes. Are going to have a food court. They're going to have a kids zone and all sorts of live performances. I don't think they've had a New Year's celebration for the past couple years due to COVID. So I think this is the first one back since 2019. So that'll be a big deal and a big celebration. So definitely worth going out and checking out.
I always love a good lion dance.
I know, it's so
something
cool.
About that, you know, how it just goes up and down and moves its head. I don't know. It's a talent. Mm-hmm. It's a skill.
It is
so.
A talent.
Also, next weekend, Saturday, March 11th, Pacific Baseball is back, which it's always great. Beautiful facility at the University of Pacific. They are playing CSU Northridge, and game time is 2 p.m. on Saturday, and tickets start at $10. Again, great venue, and hopefully we'll have some beautiful weather coming up.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And then like we alluded to when we were talking about Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, my next event also involves being hot. It's on Sunday, March 12th. It is Some Like It Hot at the Stockton Bob Hope Theater as part of their Friends of the Fox classic movie series. And of course, I also had no idea what Some Like It Hot is. And then I read the description and it sounds, I think it's funny. Anthony, is it a funny movie?
I mean, you got Jack Lemmon in there and Monroe popping up.
And Monroe, yes. So
most well known.
That movie? I love that movie.
So I know. I got to go. I will go and watch it. So it's after two male musicians witness a mob hit, they flee the state and disguise themselves in an all female band. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's just about all the shenanigans they get into along the way now that they're part of a female band. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'll go find out on March 12th. And so the movie, things kick off at 1:00, but you want to get there. Be sure you're there before 1:30 because they do a live organ performance on the Mighty Morton organ, which is super cool. They have this organist come in, Dave Marino, and it's worth going out. And there's also like a really slamming deal if you want to be a member of the Friends of the Fox movie series. I feel like it's like $50 or something to be a member for a year to go to one of the movies a month. So check them out and support the Friends of the Fox.
Also on Saturday, March 11th, there is a softball doubleheader over at the softball complex right near the baseball field. And that is going to be against CSU Bakersfield. And yes, doubleheader. First game at noon, second game 2:00. So technically you can go to game 1:00 at noon and walk over to baseball, see that at 2:00. So go check that out. At Pacific Athletics, always a great, great quality games over there for sure.
And it's March in Stockton, so the weather's going to be perfect. And so you can just walk around beautiful UOP campus and get a bunch of games in. So I love it. I love it. I love it. To learn about all the events happening in Stockton, be sure to visit the city's largest events calendar at visitstockton.org. And when you are there, you should sign up for our weekly events newsletter. And all the events happening in the city can hit your mailbox every Wednesday morning.
And we want to thank Michael McDonald, not the Doobie Brothers one, but Stockton's own Michael McDonald.
But have you ever seen him and Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers in the same room?
He's right.
That is true.
I'm just saying. was that a White Lotus song you were trying to do?
You know, have you ever seen Saturday Night
Live? I went all in on it.
they do a whole Michael McDonald. Yes. He has a very unique way of doing things. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, any Michael McDonald sketches on SNL, check that out. Anyway, Michael's Heavenly Sweets, check them out online. Just the drool factor alone is amazing. But also, all the great stuff Michael's doing in his spare time is phenomenal. So great guy. Hopefully,
since
you get an opportunity.
He's retired.
So you can hopefully come out and if you can't see him anytime between now and May, come see him at Stockton Flavor Fest.
May 19th through 21st. For supporting images and insights, be sure to follow at This Is Stockton Podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. To stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton, follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Estes with Visit Stockton and produced by Relic.